This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozell for Sunday, August 20th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio, waiting to take your calls, you know, on anything. Problems that you've had, you've tried, you've applied, you've done everything you can think of, but same old, doesn't work, right? Well, here we are, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's hear from you today, but we have a program as well. We have one that we want to talk to you about on this gorgeous day, and it is beautiful outside. It's an amazing day, so make sure after you listen to the program, go out. And if you're going to go out before that, make sure you got a headset so you can continue to listen. Seriously, this is a program that affects way too many people. It's one that even the diagnosed state of this condition affects something in the neighborhood of about 30 million people. And we're not even talking about those who are borderline and those who, you know, are undiagnosed and just kind of, you know, the ostrich in the sand syndrome. What are we talking about? We're talking about a very devastating condition on the rise, and it's called diabetes. And in studio to help me talk about that, your presenter this Wednesday evening, the 23rd of August, none other than Dr. Bryce Miller. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's a day that, you know, we should be doing this outside.
We should be.
You know, we should move the studio. We can sit in the grass, underneath the tree. We can talk to people going by. A perfect day for it. We got to bottle this thing. Anyway, Dr. Bryce, this condition is one that in the United States of America and all industrialized countries is on the growth climb like nothing I've ever seen, and more so than any other conditions. And it affects so many different pathways and tissues and outcomes. Let's talk a little bit about it. Why, number one, why is it on the climb? Why is diabetes, you know, high blood sugar levels, number one, on the climb, and why is it so devastating? Why is it so potentially a problem?
Yeah, there's lots of reasons that it's on the climb, but I mean, like you said, that's a very, very common problem these days. About 10% of our population, or about 30 million people, are diagnosed with it, but they say over the age of 20, around 86 million, or almost 30% of the population, is pre-diabetic. So it's definitely not just those that are diagnosed with it, but lots of people that are sitting there silently not aware they have this issue. And it's a major problem because it can damage all kinds of organ systems. It can damage your structural systems. It can increase your stress, throw your sleep off. So it has a wide range of problematic effects in the body.
Well, you know, there's type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and then there's this enigma that I'll get into later on in the program called type 3 diabetes, which everybody says, what? I thought there was only two types. And not only that, then there's something called diabetes insipidus. So there's a whole, you know, pick your choice of type of diabetic problems, and they're all different in how they manifest. But let's talk about the most common. Let's talk about type 2, which used to be called adult onset diabetes, but it's no longer adult onset. It's happening to our children.
Yeah, the type 1 diabetes is a very rare, it's not rare, but it's only about 10% of the cases, and that has to do with a few genetic issues that can throw off how the body produces its own insulin, and thus can throw off your blood sugar handling. But the most common, over 90% of the cases, are going to be type 2 diabetes. And like you said, it used to be described as adult onset, but now we even have children in their teens or even younger than that that have this condition, and there's a lot of reasons why. And I think a big part of that is the increase in high fructose corn syrup in our food supply, and it's not even just in the sweet things. It's in the salty, savory foods, and it's used to kind of make you crave and increase your consumption of these foods for marketing purposes, but also it just adds a very, very, very high sugar load to the system, and all these children are consuming all these things at a younger age, and it's causing lots of problems.
Well, how many kids do we know, as grandparents, as parents, and so forth, we, you know, we try to make it expedient for our kids to eat something because they're not eating the things that we want them to have. You know, God forbid that they have a salad and some vegetables and a piece of meat for dinner, you know, with a little bit of wild rice or a little sweet potato. But mostly it's chicken nuggets and it's French fries and it's a hamburger or it's, if that. And then we give them the sodas that you're talking about and we give, and it's just loaded with all kinds of carbohydrate and fast acting products that our body is having a very difficult time dealing with it. But let's take this common pattern of diabetes, because we see it a lot in the office when it comes to many different conditions, whether it's pain conditions. And I know this Wednesday evening, you're going to talk about neuropathy patterns and how they can be actually dealt with. You have to deal with neuropathy from the source. Why is that? Where it's coming from? You have to deal with the diabetic onslaught of tissue degeneration from the source. And you have to deal with all the pain patterns, the inflammatory and the skin tissue changes and the organ systems from why it's happening. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the why it's happening. Why is type 2, other than the sugars, so prevalent? What's happening in the body that's causing that to occur?
Yeah, there's lots of damaging effects of having a high blood sugar level, but one of the most important foundational pieces is A, you have an increase in inflammation. And obviously inflammation is linked to all sorts of disease processes. But another big piece is the fact that it damages your blood vessels. So when you have a high blood sugar level, it causes changes in the lining of your blood vessels, which make them start to get kinks or damages, which can lead to plaquing, can lead to heart disease and those types of things, but it can also cause problems with microvascular supply. So the small little baby blood vessels start to get damaged, they kink up, they don't supply their nutrition to nerves, to other organ systems, to your eyes, where you have all these small vessels, and then the tissue subsequently starts to get damaged. You lose the nerve supply because you're damaging the nutrient flow to the nerve, and all of a sudden you can't feel your feet, or you have these ulcers on your feet you didn't know were there because your feet aren't there anymore. Your eyesight starts to fail. All these things can happen due to the damaging effects in the bloodstream, and then it goes on from there, of course.
You know, you lose sensory acuity, and that's basically what you're talking about. And that sensory acuity is based on, you know, the damage that you're referring to relative to the nerve roots and where they go and the end vessels and so forth. That inflammatory veil that we talk about so often in so many different conditions. Here in a diabetic condition, this inflammatory wall acts very much to stop the linkages of insulin into this tissue where the body needs to transport glucose, sugar, and then it upregulates it and takes it into its working environment. But if that inflammatory wall is there, it can't get through. And that inflammatory wall, that's one type of diabetic problem. You know, so what causes this inflammatory reaction? Is it just sugar or and too much of that? Or is it the sugar and the food products and so forth that the patient also becomes allergic to, sensitive to, you know, toxic to and so forth?
Sure, yeah. When it comes to, you know, inflammation in general, you have to look at what's causing stress on the system. And like we do with applied kinesiology at our office, we use what's called the triad of health model. So there's structural, there's chemical, and there's emotional stresses that can all be contributing to inflammation patterns. So even if you had a hard day at work, that can cause your stress hormones to rise, causes pro-inflammatory responses, can increase your blood sugar. Even if you have pain in your joints, you have that achy knee or that sore neck or those headaches, those cause stress on your system. They cause stress to you physically and emotionally, which increases inflammation in the body. And then you can get this cascade of, now I'm more inflamed due to these chemical imbalances and makes my pain worse, which makes my stress worse, and then you get stuck in this kind of a downward spiral. We want to stop that at the source and reverse that as fast as we can.
You know, everybody thinks that diabetes only happens to people who have a little bit more weight on them. Obviously, it's an increased prevalence, but that's not the case. You get people who look fit, and we have this, you know, this skinny fat person. You know, there's a lot of fat tissue developing inside that is not around the muscle patterns, not around, but it's inside and manifests around the organ systems. That's where you get a lot of this. But an inflammatory reaction, inflammation, people have to think of as acid. It destroys the body. It breaks the tissue down. And these inflammatory reactions come from pain. They come from a constant stress pattern that just never goes away. It comes from biochemical insults that we've touched upon. And so subsequently, when these stressors these structural injury patterns, this pain pattern, this biochemical imbalance, these things that we put in our body that we shouldn't eat, things that we need more of, we don't get enough of. And these emotional pieces are there. They're constant. Somebody, and some people have all of them. You know, they just put up with, they take two aspirin, call me in the morning type of syndrome. This wall, this inflammatory reaction occurs. Now they can't transport and deal with and handle the blood sugars, the insulin levels that are necessary, not only, by the way, for blood sugar transport, but to build muscle.
Correct.
You know, diabetic patients do not have muscle mass.
Yep. It's very interesting. I've only seen a few cases of it, but I've had a few people where they've come in, they look great, they're fit, they eat amazing, their diet diaries are on point, they exercise, around their blood sugar, not just the fasting glucose, mind you, but the A1C, which is an important part for everyone to get checked. If you don't get your A1C checked, make sure you do that. That's a 3-month average of your blood sugar level, which gives you a much better understanding of your predisposition to having problems. He had a normal fasting glucose. His normal sugar levels were fine. His A1C was close to an 8. And that's because he is your typical type A, high-strung businessman on the East Coast, and he was just stressing himself into a blood sugar pattern.
And just for our audience, so they're aware of it, and an 8 is extremely high. The top level of an A1C, 3-month average of blood sugar should be no higher than 5.6. At 5.7 to 6.2, you're definitely in a pre-diabetic state. Anything above that, now you're in diabetes. And if it's consistent with other factors that deal with blood sugar. So, you know, you can mess up one night or a couple of days and your day-to-day blood sugar is going to jump. But that A1C is the telltale. That's the guy that tells you, yeah, it's not just one day. You've been messing up for a long time. And there's a lot of other pieces to it. So this Wednesday evening, I know you're going to get into these patterns. And by the way, join Dr. Bryce this Wednesday evening, the 23rd of August already. You know, do it while it's still summer. Get to the class. These are our gift to you. These are our in-house continuing education programs. They're designed to educate you so you can find out what you can do about things. Are there other ways other than taking metformin and insulin injections and the insulin pumps and so forth? And what can you do to make a difference and reclaim your life and turn things around? Call the office at the Rozelle Center at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And tell the staff that you want to register for Dr. Bryce Miller's presentation on diabetes. I promise you, this is a class that if you have any problems whatsoever, if you're on that edge, you're getting nervous. Your doctor told you, you know, we got to watch this. We got to bring it down. And by the way, what are you watching anyway? You know, doc, this is something that makes me crazy. You know, somebody comes in and says, well, you know, it's like being a little bit pregnant. You know, you either got a problem or you don't. Right. So you're either looking at it or not. What are you going to wait till you lose your foot? You're amputating it? Why is it that it's bad just to watch things?
Yeah, that's a common thing you hear is the numbers are getting close, but we'll just watch and wait. We'll watch and wait. Well, there's already a process happening. If your blood's changing even a little bit, or even if it's not and you can feel symptoms happening, there's something going on in your body. We want to go after that sooner than later and fix it before it becomes a serious issue. So watching and waiting is not something you want to be doing with your healthcare, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, watching and waiting means that you're just dying step by step, a little bit at a time, and you're just waiting for that to happen. It's like, really? Is this what you want to get done? I'm not sure that that's in my, you know, my bailiwick. I'd rather be proactive very quickly, get things done, move forward, and handle the things that you need to do. That's why we do these classes, because we don't want you to watch and wait. We want you to be, you know, the leader of your ship. We want you to, you know, the title of my book, Ageless Health, Your Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. It is in your hands. Don't wait for somebody to tell you, oh, well, you're diabetic. It's time to put you on, you know, metformin or anything else. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Bryce Miller will be your host at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center. Be there. All you have to do is call 703-698-7117. And how you find us here, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your calls and your questions on anything that's on your mind today, no matter what the topic. Don't be afraid. Pick up the phone. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. Listen, we got a topic today that's so important, and the reason that's so important, it kills people. Yes, it does, but more before it does that, it takes away so much of your life. It takes away your ability to enjoy the moment, the present, because you start losing things. Like you can't feel things, sometimes amputations, sometimes you lose your eyesight, sometimes your kidneys shut down, sometimes you get these ulcers leading into gangrenous situation. What are we talking about? We're talking about diabetes and its progression. And today we have type 1, type 2, type 3, and diabetes insipidus. Yeah, it's a maze. But this Wednesday evening, Dr. Bryce Miller, your host, your presenter, my guest today, will be taking the veil off of this stuff. He's going to be doing it at the Rozelle Center at 7 p.m. Join him, and you call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117, and he'll get into the weeds with you on this thing and really give you an opportunity to show you that you don't have to sit there and deal with this stuff on an ongoing basis, that there are things you can do without putting up with and taking medications for the rest of your life. Wouldn't you like to know about that? Join him this Wednesday evening, the 23rd, at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Before we get back into the program, next part of the program, we're going to get into much more detail on this. But meanwhile, I want to go to the phones. Keith, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Good afternoon. I'm not calling about diabetes, but I always love to hear, listen to your program.
Thank you, sir.
I am curious that I have got what they call the myofascial pain syndrome. And I never had it when I was young. It started after I had a hernia operation. And after that operation, I started having myofascial pain syndromes that I have to get treated with trigger point therapy. And I also developed food allergies. And I always felt like I had gotten some disease from the surgery. And the doctor said, no, sometimes after surgeries, this is what happens to some people.
Yeah, so it's not unusual. It's not extraordinarily common, but it's not unusual. And we see quite a bit of it, unfortunately, you know, over the period of many, many years. But let me kind of walk you through it a little bit and you'll get a little bit better understanding. First, that you have to understand this fascia. It's like plastic wrap, and it envelops throughout the whole body, and there's areas that it crosses over from one side to the other. A lot of the fascia that controls the side of the body comes from the back. The fascia that goes through the lower portion of the legs, once it gets to the hips and in the back and the center portion of your low back, then crosses over and goes all the way up to opposite shoulders. And it also wraps around into the front. These are called myofascial trains, just like a train track, and they go different areas. And so what happens when you do any kind of surgery, and just doing an appendectomy, it happens with many other cases, and people go into all kinds of pain patterns. So myofascial pain syndrome, if you will, basically is a diagnosis that, well, we think you have fascial pain, you got all this pain, but we really don't know where it's coming from. So that's one piece of it. If it's truly a fascial problem, is when they put you back together, when they sewed you up, they pulled and tugged on the fascia, and now that whole maze of fascial areas are being tightened. It was a hernia surgery, right? I'm sorry, I said appendectomy.
Yeah, it was hernia.
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're pulling on.
They said it was a very bad hernia, and that they had to pull and tug everything back into place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that fascia can be released. It can't be done just with trigger point. Now, the other piece is that wherever that surgical scar is, you have acupuncture channels that go over it. And if the acupuncture channel was damaged as well, now you're going to have symptoms that are associated with that channel. In the hernia area, you're going to have kidney channel that goes through. You're going to have a gallbladder channel that goes through it. It ends on the foot. Gallbladder channel starts on the eye, and the outer canthus of the eye goes all the way down and attaches the foot. The kidney starts on the foot and goes all the way up and attaches and ends on the chest. So if these areas are irritated, particularly those two, you can have pain anywhere. And so now you have a combination of two things. Now, when the fascia starts shifting and moving, the spinal system is going to start shifting and moving as well. Now you have nerves that are being irritated. So you've got this catch-22 that continues internally because of where the hernia is. Hernia because of the intestinal system being pushed through a weakness in the wall of the abdominal cavity. The fascial tugging is going to cause digestive problems. And with digestive problems, you're going to cause inflammatory reactions, and it's going to self-perpetuate. So you have to deal with each one of these systems at this point. We've seen a great number of people coming in with that type of situation. And Dr. Bryce, I'm going to let you kick in, because what we're talking about also can cause blood sugar handling problems.
Yeah, just like he was saying, or I was saying earlier, with increased pain patterns, increased stress, even if you don't feel tons of pain, which in your case you are, if the system has, there's sensors in your tissue, if they're stretched or pulled or irritated, that is all going to your brain, increasing the level of the brain stress. But if there's a pain pattern in an area, trigger point therapy can help and things like that. But sometimes the tissue becomes hypersensitive due to the improper response with the spine or the brain. It's called central sensitization, or the body turns up the volume too high on the area because it's inappropriately stimulated.
Keith, this is a situation that really needs to be evaluated properly. If it's evaluated in from all of those platforms that we're talking about, and you deal with the fascial planes, you deal with the acupuncture circuits, you deal with the neurological systems, and you get the body back where it can heal, you can reverse this. Why don't you show up for Dr. Bryce's program this Wednesday evening? I think you'll get an insight, and he'll answer those questions too, by the way. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. Call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject. We're talking about diabetes today, you know, that thing that can destroy your life and take parts of your body and things of that nature. It's no problem for the weak. I mean, this is one of these things that, you know, don't ignore it and don't listen to, you know, in my opinion, the drug company scope of practice, meaning take this for the rest of your life. There's nothing that you really can do about it. You know what? There's a lot that you can do about it. And here in studio, as well as this Wednesday evening, as your presenter in-house at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Bryce Miller, and he has made himself quite specific on the subject relative to diabetes and how it affects the body. We're in the second half of this program, and you know, this is a program kind of interesting in our time frame because we catch people on both halves. So I want to revisit what this diabetic situation is about. It affects, as we talked about earlier, you know, huge numbers of people. About 10% of the population is diagnosed, and we have so many others. Another 10 to 15% that are sitting out there undiagnosed, and it's affecting more. And we're just talking about regular diabetic type 2 patterns. We haven't even touched upon type 1. And let's get into that piece just a little bit. Type 1 diabetes used to be called juvenile onset diabetes, and it was one that was going back. But we've known that the reason they called it juvenile onset is simply because of the fact that they saw it early on in childhood states. And sometimes kids were, you know, came out of the chute within a few years, but sometimes it didn't hit till they were 12, 13, 14 years old. But just to differentiate the two, juvenile onset or type 1 diabetes, we'll call it today, opposed to type 2 diabetes, what are the distinguishing characteristics?
So the major distinguishing factor between those two is for type 1 diabetes or the juvenile onset, it's more of an issue if there's actually a pathological problem. There's either a genetic abnormality or sometimes there's an autoimmune attack on the pancreas itself and the cells that make insulin. So ultimately, your body produces insulin normally to bring the sugar out of the blood and put it into your tissue. But if your body cannot produce insulin naturally, or the body's attacking itself and then messing with how well it can make this insulin, you're going to have a serious problem, and that's something that's a little bit more complicated and different. But again, this is only around 10% of the cases. Now, majority is type 2, which used to be, like you said, called adult onset because you didn't see it until people were in their adult years or older life. But this has to do with the body starting to ignore the insulin that's in your bloodstream. Your body can make it just fine, but because of the constant high sugar, because of stress, eating too many refined carbs and sugars and sweets, there are all these pieces together, the pain and all these pieces putting your sugar levels high, this chronically high sugar level makes the body produce lots of insulin, but over time the cells start to ignore this insulin, and now you can't even get the sugar out of your system even though there's insulin present.
You know, we were talking about the different types of distinguishing features of type 1, type 2, and you touched upon it there for a second. The reason that type 1 is no longer called, you know, early onset or childhood diabetes or adolescent diabetes is simply because of the fact that now there's type 2 diabetes, which used to be adult onset diabetes, that's happening in childhood. And because we're seeing kids, as we touched upon earlier, that are eating way too much junk, and, you know, they're not being fed good diets, they're sitting at home, they're not getting exercise, they're on their electronic devices all the time, and they're not burning things up that they're eating. So you add carbohydrate to inactivity, and the only thing that can happen is a high blood sugar level, and they're not transporting.
That's a huge piece you just said there. With the lack of activity, I think, is a crucial component related to this. And then when you're exercising, you're increasing muscle mass, and you're making your muscles crave sugar, that'll rapidly increase your sensitivity to the insulin, and thus make your body pull sugar out much more effectively. So kids today are not getting outside. They're sitting on their computers or on their apps on their iPhones, whatever else. The average person now is eating about 150 pounds of sugar and 150 pounds of flour a year. And that's out of control numbers. And so these two factors are a big part of that problem.
Well, considering that the ingestion of sugar years ago, and I'm talking about, you know, going back to the colonial days of this country, at the max was about 14 pounds per person per year. I don't eat a lot of sugar. I know you don't eat a lot of sugar. So who eats our portions of that when that's an average of 150 pounds? So, you know, when you extend that and you take people who really are watching themselves, that means people who are in trouble are doing a whole lot more than that. So there's a reason why we're seeing the degenerative diseases, the heart diseases early on and plaquing. We started the show and I was talking a little bit about type 3 diabetes, and type 3 is now being related to the effect of diabetes on the brain and the processing that doesn't occur rapidly enough to stop the brain from degeneration. And they're saying that Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and other neurodegenerative diseases are a result of this blood sugar handling process. And we can't stop it because our dietary patterns in our culture have shifted so dramatically. So it's important, you know, and we could get into type 3 diabetes and neurodegenerative conditions are so new to the public format, but we've noted it and we've seen it in the things that we do in our practice. We just didn't put a name onto it for many years. But lifestyle is what is what's driving these things and what is killing people across the board and causing their impairment. And if they're not dead, they wish they were. It's an unfortunate set of situations. Let's talk a little bit more about diabetes and pain patterns. That's one that a lot of people don't think about. But we said earlier on that pain increases inflammation. Inflammation is a barrier. It can't transport that. Not only insulin, but other hormones as well. But let's talk about pain patterns relative to diabetes and what's the relationship between the two. But call us at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your questions on anything today.
So yeah, there's a huge correlation between pain and blood sugar issues. They can go both ways. The pain can induce stress hormone to rise, which will cause blood sugar to rise. The other way is true as well. So if you've hurt yourself and now you're having issues with being able to exercise, now you're going to have that problem of that inactivity, which induces blood sugar patterns. You have issues with if your body has high sugar to start with, your tissues become damaged because of the inflammation there, makes your pain go up, makes the tissue soft, and makes the muscles not fire properly. Your ligaments become too soft. Your cartilage gets a little bit soft because of these stress hormones, inflammation, and blood sugar levels. So now that same activity you were doing, gym, exercise, running, can now start to damage the area if it's not being supported appropriately. So that same nice casual jog, which used to make you feel great, now makes your knees ache. It could be related to your sugar pattern causing damage to the actual ligament, tendon, and cartilage tissue. And then if you look at the way that the blood sugar will damage the blood vessels, if you have problems with that damage to those small microvascular channels that go into all those little crevices in your joints, in your spine, in the brain, in the eyes, around your nerves, if you get damage to the nerve doesn't fire very well, the muscle starts to not fire. It causes shifting in your spinal system, which can throw off your position of your spine, can cause pain, can throw your gait off. So there's all kinds of correlations here, but the basic thing is going through the body, getting the sugar to go down so chemically you're not softening and making yourself predisposed to injury, cleaning up the injury patterns, the misalignment of the spine, the miscommunication between muscle systems. This will take a lot of stress off your body, which will again help your blood sugar and systems go back to normal.
You know, it's an incredible situation when we look at how the body reacts to different stressors within its environment. And, you know, we keep touching upon injury. We keep touching about biochemical balances in the body. We keep touching upon the emotional stress. In our society today, we are not good. We are not masters at controlling those things. We put up with pain because we think it's normal. You know, we are limping along. So we go to the doc and he writes a prescription for something. Or he says, you know, take Tylenol, take Advil. But the problem is, again, now you're adding another barrier, if you will, and an inflammatory wall to the system. And even though that it modifies, modulates, dampen downs that pain pattern, that irritation, that inflammation, what's taking place is it's a veil that covers over it. Now you become progressively worse over a period of time, and particularly in the conditions that we're talking about.
And another problem you're going to see with those types of drugs is a lot of those NSAIDs will cause damage to your digestive system. And one of the pieces I always focus on with any health condition, even including diabetes or pain or whatever it is your digestive system's involvement. So if you look at the system itself, if your pancreas, which is what produces insulin, your blood sugar stabilizer, it also produces digestive enzymes. So if your pancreas is too concerned and working so hard to get your sugar to stay in check, it'll start to slump off, get fatigued, and now it doesn't produce digestive enzymes. Now you can't break your food down, even if you do eat healthy. Subsequently, you're going to get inflammation in the intestine. That's a big way to increase overall inflammation in the body. If your gut's inflamed, whether you have major symptoms or not, your whole system will start to inflame. And it's a big neurologic stress as well, which will again cause the stress hormone to rise, which will cause the softening of the joints, which will cause your blood sugar to rise. So all these pieces are all interconnected. It sounds like it's very complex, but it's very simple. You have to eat right. You have to be able to digest the food that you eat as well. And if you take these NSAIDs, it ruins the lining. It irritates the intestinal wall. You can't absorb your food. And it just continually perpetuates the problem while it covers it up and you think everything is okay, which is the most dangerous part.
You know, there's this other condition, and we're going to go back and forth and touch on a lot of these things. And if you have any questions, you know, today, please call us at 888-630-9625, or more importantly, join Dr. Bryce Miller this Wednesday evening at the Results Center, and he's going to get into very specific approaches on these conditions and tell you what you can do to make a difference in your own life. And that's why we do these in-house continuing education programs. All you need to do is call the center at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And tell them that you'd like to register for Dr. You know, the last time you did this, Dr. Bryce, you had a packed house. You were like, we had to tell
people. We almost split it into 2 days. We got close.
I know. So what I'm suggesting is that if you really want to attend this and find out more about what you can do to help yourself, don't hesitate. Call, because we can fit comfortably about 48 people in our lecture area, and it's a very lovely area today. We have three-dimensional presentations. We have television screens. We have Dr. Miller. We have a pull-down screen, so it's all going to be there. You know, there's this condition that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and it's called diabetes insipidus, and it's one that ultimately people bypass a lot because it doesn't present the way normal diabetes does. And it has to do with a signaling mechanism from the brain to the rest of the tissue. Often it shows up with injury patterns. And, you know, you go to the medical literature and they're going to tell you that it's not curable. In our experience over a period of, you know, years, we find that, in fact, that there can be a way out of this nonsense. It's damaged pituitary and of the brain in an area called the hypothalamus, but not damage per se, but functional inability for it to work the way it needs to work. And, you know, the symptoms from, they can be something as simple, extreme thirst. You know, you just can't get enough to drink. That's a diabetic insipidus problem. You have to, you know, go to the bathroom all the time. You're urinating constantly. Sometimes emotional states go through the ceiling, and that's where the hypothalamus comes into play. There's often fever. And when it gets into worse situations, it can be diarrhea. Here's where this problem comes in with children as well, because it delays the formation of bone growth. And again, that's going to the pituitary and how it regulates calcium metabolism through the thyroid and the like. The diabetes insipidus occurs sometimes from medical literature. It's called idiopathic. They don't know. The point of it is it can be known if you really look at the problems. If in youth, sometimes it's trauma from birth. The child was delivered with forceps, or there was a breech delivery, or the delivery was too rough, or the vaginal womb wasn't wide enough for the child to be delivered properly. But it's a fluid problem, but also with other ramifications. There's a hormone called ADH in the hypothalamus that is primary in the regulatory mechanism, but this hypothalamus also relates to adrenal function and direct pituitary function. So when one of these systems begins to break down, you're going to have other symptoms. You're going to have hormone dysregulation. You're going to have cognitive problems. You're going to have other organ systems not signaling. And it's one that, again, we kind of look around. Central diabetes or diabetes insipidus is simply one that has to be ruled out in many other cases, particularly the type of cases that you see when a patient comes to a doctor's office and the doctor says, you know, I'm not sure what it is, take this medication, and unfortunately they progress much more rapidly over a period of time. And then again, getting into the type 3 diabetes with brain deterioration and brain dementia problems. Dr. Bryce, let's get back into the pain pattern just a little bit because it's so important. And the question is, can chronic pain that's unassociated with dietary patterns ultimately cause a diabetic condition to show up?
Yeah, I believe it can, because like we talked about with that mechanism of pain is a stress on your body. If you have pain, it hurts, it annoys you, it bothers you, you can't do things you want to do. Those all cause increased cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone, or one of many that's released, but it's the main one we're looking at. As your cortisol rises, your blood sugar rises. Now, this is designed naturally, so when you get stressed out by seeing a tiger, you can run away and have enough sugar in your blood to have your muscles have action to escape. But if you're sitting in a chair with a bad back, or you're at work all day hunched over and your neck is killing you and you have headaches, that continual stress and pain can cause a similar response. Without the muscles burning the sugar up, it just sits in your bloodstream and it continues to cause damage. And over time, over years, that can lead to a diabetic pattern.
You know, we're talking about 3.5, 3.6, depending on the author, million people that die in developed countries throughout the world every year due to diabetes. It's unfortunate that we ignore what's happening. And these are developing countries. You know, people who don't have as much as what we have don't have these conditions. The question that you need to ask yourself is, why is that? This Wednesday night, you're going to find out why. Give a Results Center call at 703-698-7117 and register for this very, very important class. Don't go away. We're coming up to the break, and we'll be right back after some important messages.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. You know where you are. Do the math. If you're on the West Coast, we are 3 hours early, and thank you for getting up and listening to us. If you're on Armed Forces Radio, one, we salute your service, gentlemen and ladies. Thank you so very, very much. And, you know, hopefully this can help you and make a difference in your lives, as you have made such a great difference in ours. 888-630-9625 is how you find us when we're here broadcasting, and when you'd like to talk to us when we're not here, the same number that you're going to call to register for Dr. Bryce Miller's presentation on diabetes this Wednesday evening at 7:30 is 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And if you'd like to send us an email, you go RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. RozelleCare.com. And send us a note, and we'll be more than happy to answer as quickly as we possibly can. Got a question for you, Dr. Bryce. There's so many drugs that are out there, everything from metformin to glucophage for, you know, a type 2 pattern. Then you get into your insulin injectables and the like. But when you take those medications, there's a lot of side effects. And one very significant one. Want to jump in that a little
bit? Sure, yeah. One of the top drugs used for diabetic patterns is called metformin. What it's ultimately doing is it's affecting the liver and how the liver releases sugar in response to certain hormones. But the problem with that is it's blocking the liver's ability to release sugar, well, then the sugar will build up in the liver and it can cause fatty liver disease. And that's a major problem because not only will that cause issues with digestive dysfunction, but also detoxification, hormone imbalances, which can lead to certain types of cancer or just pain and all kinds of stress in the system. So these drugs come with a lot of nasty side effects. It comes with gas, bloating, diarrhea patterns from metformin. Some other pieces can cause rashes and issues with digestive dysfunction as well. But what you look at is metformin is stopping the liver from releasing sugar, and that's actually what the stress hormone will be causing to happen in the first place. So when you stress out, cortisol causes your liver to release sugar. So ultimately what this drug is doing is blocking your body's normal response to stress. So if we trace it back to find the source of the stress and knock that out, then we don't have to worry about blocking the effect of that stress response and also preventing that fatty liver disease, which can be very problematic.
This is a situation that we really have to take seriously. There's other things called metabolic syndrome, or it used to be called Syndrome X. And what you see with this condition is that you see blood sugar starting to rise, blood fat starting to rise, blood pressure starting to rise, and pretty soon, slowly as a group, they start breaking your body down. And this is the process of cellular destruction and cellular degeneration, one that you can stop and you need to stop. I'm going to take one quick call. Bobby, thank you for holding and thank you for calling. Got to make it fast. How can I help you, sir?
I'd like to have a natural way to lower my heart rate.
Okay, there's a lot of different things that are caused. Now, you know, from just an increase of tachycardia, heart fibrillation, and so forth. Matter of fact, I'm going to have you call again next week, and I'd love to get into this thing. What we're dealing with is a heart that is, you know, not being able to be diagnosed relative to what's happening. The heart has three electrical circuits, pacemakers, vagus nerve, and nerves from your spine. Any of those things can be misfiring and cause the heart to increase in its firing mechanism. It can be as a result of trying to get more nutrient bases to the system. If your B12 level's low, if your iron level's low, your body needs those things to transport oxygen, so that can be part of the process. But these are things that can be altered. You have to look at the acupuncture system as well. Bobby, call me with this next week, and I'd love to get into this on a very, very specific basis because it's important. We're at that end of the program, and I hate to say adieu, but we're going to have to do that. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Bryce Miller's program on diabetes. Be there if you really want to make a difference in your life, particularly if you're going into a metabolic syndrome, a Syndrome X condition. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, answering all your questions as best we can. We love you all. Bye.